You're listening to Inside iOS Dev, show about real-world iOS development. Today with you, your hosts, Alex Bush.
And Andrew Rum.
And today, Andrew is going to make some clarifications about a conversation I had on Twitter about optionals.
Andrew, take
it away from here.
I'm going to be the Alex Bush whisperer. So, Alex, you were talking about this with me recently. You had a discussion with someone on Twitter. Looks like they work at Apple, actually. I don't know what they do, but basically, they said, something doesn't sit well with me in your book. Alex has a book about doing iOS interviews, iOSinterviewguide.com. Check it out. We do this podcast for free, guys. Hey, Alex, something from the book doesn't sit well with me. You recommended not using optionals. What? And Alex said, yes, they are evil.
It was a joke.
To you. But in general, though, optionals breed uncertainty and a lack of determinism in your code. Nil or an absence of a value typically indicates something has some meaning in your domain. Name it. Ivan responded by saying, so it sounds like you're saying a fundamental language feature is a bad idea. And then he asked, what should a dictionary return when a key value doesn't exist? What should array.first return? I could go on. And then you respond some more. The main problem is lack of determinism, if-elsing, and breaking the law of Demeter. Optionals, just like singletons, are not bad on their own as a feature, but it's one of those dangerous, quote-unquote, convenient features that lets majority of developers not have to stop and think about data. I'm saying in the general majority of cases, optionals should be avoided. Any proper abstraction or data type should be created to indicate an absence of value. There are some cases where nil/optional is necessary, such as low-level implementation of an array or dictionary. The problem with optionals is that devs just decide to push that figuring it out step of what nil means up higher and higher in levels of abstractions of their app, which breeds all sorts of problems above. The less optionals you use, the better. Okay, so what do you think, Alex? Do you have any clarifications to offer or anything?
I
think it's like one thing is like Twitter is not the best format.
I know, it's like 280 characters things. And I already tried to spread it into like four tweets.
This was already like seven tweets, this little bit
or
of info,
seven,
this
yeah.
small conversation, a lot more than that, probably.
But at the same time, I think sort of the point I wanted to make, is that, you know, optionals are not bad in sort of principle, but they tend to become a problem if overused. And what I'm kind of, I guess, advocating for, use less of them. Use other things like, extract some types instead.
Okay, so hold on. Mm-hmm. Okay, that is, I feel like, a way different statement than optionals are evil.
Well, it was a joke,
thread.
Right?
What like, did you write in your book? I'll be fair with
enough.
You. I'll be fair with you because this is Twitter. What did you say in your book? Because this the original sort of...
Oh, no. I mean, I think it was just super quick mention. Essentially, like a paragraph saying, oh, yeah, you know, instead of abusing them and using them too much, extract abstractions. That's pretty much it. I didn't focus too much on it.
Okay, so then actually his main sort of criticism here came from the book before you had mentioned optionals as evil in this Twitter thread. So we'll go off of that. And so he doesn't think that you're saying they're evil, but he does think that they're fine and you shouldn't avoid, like, take any sort of amount of effort to avoid them. And I had read this earlier, like I said, and I said I thought you were talking past each other because mm-hmm. I actually think you're both not that much on a different page. Although y'all are not on the same page, y'all are not that far. Maybe y'all are a couple pages away. I think what you're saying, you have an idea in your head of about optionals, and this person has an idea in their heads about what optionals are. And I think y'all came to the conversation with those in your mind, and then you both started drawing conclusions, and then from there you made further inferences, and then from there you diverged on this particular point But I think what happened was, just as you clarified now, you say, like, for his, the thing that gave it away for me, that what I thought y'all were talking past each other, is this question he poses, what should a dictionary return when a key value doesn't exist? For me, I personally, this is not something I would have thought to say, because I don't think you would, like, how, like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think that would be about, something you'd really get behind. Like, you wouldn't, yeah. I wouldn't imagine you, Alex Bush, being like, no, like, don't put an optional return type for a dictionary. I think that's a very clear example of where it's great to use optionals.
Yep, exactly, yep.
Yeah, and I think, so I think it, what he's thinking is, you're saying don't use optionals at all. They're just bad.
Yeah, that's pretty much the miscommunication there, right?
And I think what you're trying to say is, and I think this is something that is the case in general. I don't know how Apple prescribes the use of optionals. The Swift documentation is usually not very prescriptive. It's like pretty spartanly descriptive. It just says like, oh, this is what an optional is. It doesn't say like you should. As far as I know, that's typically how the docs for Swift are. Right. It seems that when optionals, I feel like, are very useful at certain boundaries. So this is a prime example in a dictionary. When you return, someone looks up a key in the dictionary and the value is potentially not there. I think that is a prime example of where an optional is great. I think another great prime example is, if you maintain a library and you can return nil to any external consumers of this library, I think having an optional return type is the right thing to do, because otherwise you're not signaling, there's no information there to the programmer who's consuming your API that this can return nil. But once you explicitly state that, then it's extremely clear and they can handle it accordingly. So in this and in these cases, I think optionals great. Or sorry, in the lens of this person who's responding to you. Now the other side of this is your perspective. How you're, I think, going about things is saying, when you introduce an optional, it's, well, you say it's less deterministic. I actually don't think that's. I get what you're trying to say, but I don't think that's the correct thing. You can argue that actually having optionals is more deterministic, in that you're explicit about the paths that some data type can have. It's, in particular, whether it's null or nullable or not. So in that sense, it's more deterministic. But I think what you're saying is, when you use optionals everywhere, you're increasing the space of possibilities. So, for example, just very simple, let's say you have a string and you declare it as optional, and it's not really actually optional, right? Or like you could reconfigure your code. Let's say you pass it in on an the initializer so that you can guarantee the string is there. And let's say that this is a good idea to do so. And so you do it. And you pass it in because you know it's never going to be nil, and so you want it there. And this, I think, is good, because then you have the one code path where you have the case where you have the string, right? Because the data type is the string itself. Now, an optional is a data type of its own that wraps another data type. So let's say you decided to make the string optional rather than non-optional. Right. Well, then now when you access that string, it's really an optional. And then then you have to do an if, you know, then you check if the string is within the optional. Well, if this is the case, do that. Else, you know, we do not have a string, do this. And so there you've doubled right there. There's your split in the code right there. You've doubled the code paths for accessing this. So I don't think that's ideal.
And also, what if you're then taking the result of that and then returning it from your type where you were getting that optional in the first place, then you have to return an optional, right? Then someone else has to do that split there too.
Yeah, that's a good point about the optionals sort of then sort of replicating throughout your code base, because then it gets passed on for other people to handle, and then it just becomes something that then this case, this extra case of an optional type being there has to be handled until someone decides to terminate it by, you know, explicitly, I guess, dependency injection it. Using dependency injection upon initialization or something like this, or maybe a nil coalescing operator to always return a string, something like this as well. Until then will it be, you know, not have people having to handle it, which would then just sort of go back to what you were saying, which is why not just handle it right away, if possible, in these places where you can.
So that's actually... I think the conversation, at least from my perspective, is not even about optionals, but about nil, because the same problem was there before, even before we had nil optionals in Objective-C, where we just had nils, right? You, if you return a nil, right, that means you do not guarantee there is a value to the user of your whatever method or object or whatever that thing is. And then... either they have to deal with that, or they return back a value to their users or a nil, right? And they have to deal with it.
And this wasn't too bad in Objective-C, because you can send messages to nil in Objective-C. And so I think this is why it was kind of okay. The reason why I say kind of okay is because, well, if you send a message to nil and you expected it, and you're sort of, okay, this may be nil, but it's fine. The program will continue running along happily. And I've checked that my logic will be fine from here on out. Then that's great, because then you don't have to write this handling code. However, if you didn't think about the nil case, let's say you tried to send a message to some important service class that's supposed to fetch something over the network. Well, that fetch is not going to happen. And you're also not going to know that it didn't happen, because your app's not going to crash. So this was the good and the bad of, you know, this being able to send nil, being able to send messages to nil in Objective-C. Right.
So yeah, I guess, again, to reiterate, I'm not against optionals, but I advocate for keeping them at the lower level of your application, meaning as close to your dictionaries and arrays and other primitives as possible. And then on the higher levels of your abstractions, try not to use them as much as possible.
I think that's reasonable. I think especially, like, it's very nice if you have model objects that are structs or classes with no optional types, and everything is filled out and everything is sort of there as expected. I think that's really nice to work with that sort of type, because then you have everything. There's no wondering if something has some, whether it has every, the state fully initialized or fully available or not. It's all there. Which is quite nice to work with.
All right, guys. So that's it for today. You can tweet at us at InsideIOSDev on Twitter, or email us at hello@InsideIOSDev.com. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.